Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza, and I'm excited again, as always, to have an opportunity to talk to you. I hope everybody's doing okay, and I hope that everybody's drinking your water. It has been hot on the East Coast. I mean, down from Richmond, I'm in D.C., it's been hot. I hope that you are drinking your water. It is very important that you wear loose-fitting clothing and you drink lots and lots and lots of water, not just a glass here and there, and lay off the sodas, and brothers and sisters, you know, lay off the alcohol. You need water, so definitely make sure that you are mindful of that. Well, as promised, we've got another special show lined up for you today. As you know, once a month, one of my special guests is an awesome, awesome sister who we are really, really blessed to have an opportunity to speak with. I want you all to really know and understand. Don't take anybody for granted. Don't take blessings for granted. You know, we are really, truly blessed to have the opportunity to sit and learn from one of the best in the business. I mean, when you have an opportunity to glean information from somebody that loves to share it, and it's life-changing, life-saving information, you really need to be thankful. And I don't want that to be lost on our listeners. You know, you really need to know that when you're listening to this, sister, what you are getting expertise. You are getting life-saving, life-changing information. And if you're tuning in for the first time, and you don't know who my guest is today, Dr. Ruby Lathan. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Lathan. Well, Dr. Lathan is a certified holistic nutritionist and an advocate for plant-based nutrition. She inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods, plant-based diet. Dr. Ruby worked as a research and award-winning engineer and now teaches others how to re-engineer their health and live disease-free. Dr. Lathan is a graduate of the University of Alabama and served as nutrition policy manager at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she developed and led a national grassroots campaign to advocate legislation for more healthful plant-based meal options in the national school lunch program. Dr. Lathan is host of The Veggie Chest, which is a plant-based cooking show, and through her organization, Roadmap to Holistic Health, Dr. Lathan hosts a number of health conferences, workshops, and vegan cooking classes, and provides customized nutritional consultations. So everybody, I want you to know, just based on that, now that's just the short version of all of the things that she does, and if ever Dr. Lathan happens to be in your area, you hear that she's in the area, make it a point to get out to see her, because I guarantee you, hearing her on the, you know, via the social media, or, you know, you're listening online or by phone, that's one thing. But when you get to see her and sit there and listen, give her she's going to have you spellbound as she gives her presentation, and you're going to know and feel her passion, and you're going to feel that today through the phone. Dr. Lathan, thank you so much for being my guest. This awesome opportunity again to speak with you. Always a pleasure. I'm humbled and happy to have a chance to speak with you again.
Always happy to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, I was thinking earlier about you. And my thoughts were centered around your testimony, what brought you to the holistic health path. And then I thought about it. I thought about the after the testimony part, you know, after the testimony, after you had gotten the good news that you had been cured or healed, or that there was no more cancer. And as I was thinking about you, I said, wow, every other challenge, because life is full of challenges. I mean, just, you know, that wasn't the last challenge that you ever had in your life. I'm sure it wasn't when the doctors told you that you had been diagnosed with thyroid cancer. That was a biggie, probably the biggest one you ever had in your life. But it probably wasn't the last challenge that you've ever had in your life, that you've had since then. But I thought about it as I was thinking about you, and I said, you know, everything else after that, though, was probably peanuts, you know what I mean? Not to minimize any other challenge, but after you get a diagnosis that you have thyroid cancer and you successfully treat it, everything else, you have to feel like I can conquer anything. Ain't nothing that I can't overcome. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have to say that is how I felt afterwards, you know, that when that was a big challenge, and making that work was a big deal. It was definitely, you know, because you go into something like that, you're not really sure if it's actually going to work. And the fact that it did was definitely a big deal and definitely made me feel like, well, you know, you can pretty much face anything and get through it. So
that's amazing, you know, because as I was thinking about you, I just thought about, because, you know, when we share your testimony, you know, we talk about how, and you share, you know, how the doctors diagnosed you and how you went and you decided to go a different route. You didn't go the allopathic medicine route. You went another route and you got the results. But, you know, the emotion that you experience, you know, you talk to people sometimes and they talk about how they felt something with every fiber or every cell in their body, you know, and I know that during the year or so that you were doing the work to heal yourself, that everything within you, you know, with every cell in your body, after you went back and every time they ran another test, you know, with the hope and the faith and, you know, everything that deals with emotions, you know, had to be wrapped up in what you were doing, you know, and wanting the outcome and, you know, praying and, you know, with every cell in your body, you know, with every ounce of faith that you could muster, you know, the people don't see that part. You know, I interviewed Brother Frank Smith a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about how when it came to him juicing, that his body was so weak that at times he would have to, you know, stand up and wash a vegetable and then go lay down and fall asleep and then get back up and then come back to the sink and then wash some more and then go lay down, you know, because his body was so weak. People don't see that part of it, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, so when I was thinking about you, I was like, wow, to have overcome, to have gone through all of that, the emotions, the faith, the hope, and then to come out on the other side victorious, and then something else comes along, it's like, oh, I can handle that. You know, shoot, I done cured cancer. You know, there's nothing I can't do. I mean, I can overcome. You know?
Yeah, it helps put things in perspective. It really does. When you're facing things, you know, it's like, this probably isn't life or death, so I can get through it. It definitely makes things become more clear. And just, yeah, it's a confidence booster for sure that you can handle things. You know, when you climb a mountain and get to the other side, you're changed. So, you know, because of that process, so you're more prepared for anything else that comes along.
Could we, before we get into this interview on the understanding the brain-gut connection, you just said something so powerful. You go to the mountain, you come on the other side, and you're changed. Can you talk about that change for a moment? Because there are a lot of people that really, really, well, let's talk about two things. Okay, when you came on the other side of the mountain, it's like, okay, we all know the story of the Ten Commandments. Moses went up one way, he came down with white hair. You know what I'm saying? He came down changed, right? He came down a totally different person
right.
than when he went up. Okay, but what there had to be a change within you even prior to getting to the other side to even make you decide to invest all of the time, energy, hope, prayers, faith, and everything in the process of going the vegan route, because it had to take faith that it was going to work. I mean, it had to, everything in you had to be trusting, because it was life or death. It was like, okay, if this doesn't work, you know, then, you know, hey, I guess I'm either have to live with cancer until it takes me out, or, you know, this has got to work. In other words, this is one of those this has got to work things. So, but something had to change. Do you recall the moment that it hit you that I'm going to do this, whether you know, whether it kills me, you know, I'm not going to go the allopathic route. I'm going to heal my body, and I'm going to do it naturally. Do you remember the moment that hit you, that was the route that you were going to go? And was it one of those big moments, or was it just, oh, hey, I'm just not going the allopathic route, or was it a memorable moment?
Yeah, you know, it was from the first when I was diagnosed, when the doctor called me and told me the diagnosis. I was really shocked, but you know, after he said all that and explained everything and explained the process, my next question was, what about alternative natural methods? And you know, he dismissed that, of course, but it was that moment that I decided right then that's what I was going to do. I felt a strong, very strong feeling that I should not have the surgery at that moment. And maybe it was just that doctor. I didn't trust anything he was saying to me. I just, not that I felt that he was lying, but I just didn't trust that he knew everything, you know, that he knew that I couldn't be healed naturally. I felt like, you know, you don't really know. And you're just giving me the standard line that could have been read off by the secretary. So I just, that was my feeling. And I also felt like I was trying to be shuttled into a system like, oh, we have another one, Tagger, for the cancer system. And, you know, go on through this door marked cancer and surgery and medication. And I was like, no, I'm not, that's not me. I'm not doing that. I am not getting ready to get on your treadmill. And that was a very strong instant feeling that I got. And I was out of town at the time. As soon as I got home, I started researching because I was like, this doesn't sound like the right path for me.
Well, did you feel that you were going all the way with it? I mean, there are some people that feel like, well, I guess it sounds like a dumb question when, you know, you're faced with life and death. But there are some people who might have felt like, well, I'll just change my diet a little bit. You know what I mean? I mean, but you went all the way with it. I mean, you went vegan, I mean, raw, right? I mean, maybe not from the beginning, not for starters. I mean, but, I mean, you ended up raw. And juicing and the whole bit, I mean, you just went all the way. There are some people that, you know, go part of the way, and then there are people that go all of the way. And once the cancer was cured, did you ever, another rhetorical question, did you ever feel the need to just go back and say, well, you know, hey, I done cured it, you know, I can have whatever it was it might have been, I can have some ice cream now or something?
I would have to. I never wanted dairy ever again, really. After, because I studied it enough to know, I changed my mindset about it. Once I realized what it really was, you lose the desire for it. So, and you lose the desire for it because you know what it is and what it does to your body. So then you really, it's like you can't unknow something, right? So once you know, it's like, okay, I don't have that desire. What I want is an alternative version of that that maybe reminds me of that, but I'm not going to have that. So, those, you know, and there's always little splurges, but I never just wanted to go fully back to it. And I can't say after I was healed, I can't say I was completely perfect, because afterwards, you know, when you're following a stringent diet for a whole year, and it's pretty stringent, you tend to want to just relax afterwards.
Sure.
But not for long, sure. Because you know that, you know, you can't just, you know, revert, because obviously a poor diet will, you know, break your body down and you'll end up where you started. So it was never like a decision to just relax at all. But, yeah, there are moments after it was all done, it's like, whew, I can breathe again. But what really the process that happened is now was developing a healthy, sustainable diet that was you know, could be a little bit relaxed, but not unhealthy. And so then I just had to find my way into that. Because there's a difference between like a therapeutic diet and just a healthy plant-based diet. And so that's what I try to follow now is the healthy plant-based diet. And sometimes you can go back to the cleansing or therapeutic diet to give your body just a wake-up and keep things in check. It's like a tune-up, you know. So, but, yeah, I've never wanted to go back to old eating habits.
Well, Doc, before we get into the interview, last question concerning that whole time frame and everything that you were going through at the time. Once the results came back, the last test was run, and the cancer was gone. I mean, and you got word that the cancer was gone. You saw on paper that the cancer was gone. Did you, I mean, I know you had to be numb. Did the breakdown come? I mean, did you break down and start crying? I mean, you know, because it just seemed like that is such a mountain to climb, you know. After that, after you got the word, I mean, I probably would have sat there in the man's office for half a day. I probably wouldn't have left. I'd have just sat there staring at the walls like, wow, I can't believe I did this, you know. You know, did you, I mean, were you numb for a while? Or what was your emotion?
You know, honestly, I wanted to get out of the office as fast as I could. I'm like, take the good news and run. So I was ecstatic, and I think the reason I wanted to get out of the office is because they weren't sharing my joy that I was so excited. You know, so I needed to be around some people who were feeling what I was feeling, you know, actual joy that there was no more cancer, which is an odd reaction to have in a doctor's office for them not to be happy that they can tell you you don't have cancer, right? They weren't
happy. And
had
all that money going out the door, you know?
Exactly, because now he doesn't get to do surgery and he doesn't get to see me every 3 months to give me medication and adjust while I'm feeling uncomfortable trying to figure out hormones. So, yeah, I was like, it's very odd that, you know, there wasn't joy there, because that's what doctors are supposed to do, you know, help you get well. And so if somebody's well, you should be happy. So, you know, once I watched that be changed on my chart, I was out. And I think it's when I got to my car and just sat there for a moment, just, yeah, it was surreal. It was a surreal moment there.
Wow. Yeah, I think I'd have got out of there, too, before they'd be like, hey, excuse me, we just made you the wrong person to charge you to come back in. Oh, yeah, I'd been gone, too. I'd have been gone.
Yeah, so,
wow.
Yeah, it's definitely a surreal moment. I can't remember if I broke down or not. I guess, you know, it's just, I was just so happy, you know. You know, I was just overjoyed. That was the main feeling.
I can only imagine. I mean, I can only imagine how on many, many levels it probably increased your faith in God. I mean, just in the intelligence of the universe. I mean, you know, just to think that, I mean, because if by changing your diet, amongst other things, the diet playing a large part of it, to a whole foods plant-based diet, that means that the body, the human body, and plants and fruits and vegetables had to be made with each other in mind. You know, so that just had to just increase a lot of different things going on in your life and on a whole bunch of different levels, you know, just trusting the universe, the process, God by whatever faith name you know God by. I mean, it just had to really, really touch you in a lot of different profound ways. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. You took us there. Thank you.
Okay, absolutely.
Everybody, my special guest, as you know, is Dr. Ruby Lathan. Today we're going to be talking about butterflies and the brain-gut connection. I recently, probably within the last year or so, and I'm sure this information has been out longer than that, but it's just really come to my ears probably within the last year or so, is that there's a connection between the brain and the gut. And that there are, you know, and some people actually say there's the second brain is in the gut, okay? And so I said, well, you know, I need to find out more about this. And so, you know, I thought, who better to talk about this than Dr. Ruby Lathan, you know? So here we are. We're going to be discussing that today. So everybody get ready. You're going to learn a lot. A lot of people have heard this information, so if you have heard it, just be patient, and you might learn something else. And for those who have not heard this information, then get ready, because you're about to learn something today. There's a connection between the brain and the gut. Dr. Lathan, can you talk about that? What is the link between the brain and the gut?
Well, it's kind of like what I was just explaining, that I felt it in my gut that I should not do what I was told to do and have surgery and go through that cancer mm-hmm. protocol. I just felt it. And I didn't have, let's say, the information. I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't know there were multiple cancer cures. I felt I was going on things I heard. Like, I heard other people talk about, you know, being cured of cancer naturally, but I didn't have any hard, concrete information. But my gut said, don't do that. And that is what we mean by the second brain, because while your second brain that is in your gut digestive tract doesn't reason necessarily and doesn't calculate, doesn't do your taxes, it's very much connected to our, like, subconscious. And because I feel like it's not cluttered with all the thinking and the conscious tasks that we have day to day, it's more in tune with that just inner knowledge. And so the gut gives us signals. So it gives signals on when you're feeling a certain way. It gives signals about food that you just ate. It gives signals, but it also receives signals. So from the brain, and reacts to those signals in different ways. You know, it's going to react, you know, when you're happy, and we talk about getting butterflies in our stomachs. You know, it's not our stomach, it's in our digestive tract that we're getting that feeling. And that is the signals from the brain manifesting in the gut. And so they're very well connected. So how you feel and how you think affects what your actual gut is going to do, and it does have its own brain that regulates different things. So it regulates the second brain in the gut, regulates how you digest food. It regulates when to release enzymes. It regulates the absorption of food. It regulates the movements of the digestive tract. So it has its own system and knows what to do. But it also goes a little deeper than that and sends signals back and forth to the big brain and responds to what's going on in our life for good or bad. So if we're, you know, stressed, it's going to respond a certain way. If we're happy, it's going to respond a certain way. If we're nutrient deficient, it's going to respond a certain way. And that's going to manifest in how we feel, you know, emotionally.
You know what's interesting? You mentioned the emotions just now, and you know, many of us if we haven't experienced it personally, have seen movies at least, or a television show or something, where somebody is so upset that they just vomited. You know, I mean, they just,
yeah.
Like, for example, take a woman, she might walk in and catch her husband, you know, cheating on her or whatever, and then she just vomits, you know what I'm saying? Just
right.
Puts her hand over her mouth and runs out of the room vomiting, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just because of the emotional upset, in some case, in that particular example, was tied somehow to a gut reaction of regurgitating food. I mean, would that fit into this conversation somewhere? I mean, that connection.
It would.
Between
it's the nervous system. So there's, you know, we have different nervous systems that are connected, and so I guess in the gut we have what's called the enteric nervous system, and it can trigger those emotional shifts, and it also reacts to dramatic emotions. So when you have an extreme emotion of fear or anger or shock, those two systems connect or respond to each other, and that's what causes the vomiting. That's what causes, like, when you're really happy or excited to see someone and you get that those butterflies, that enteric nervous system is being triggered. And so it's causing that kind of happy feeling. And it's the same thing when we see things that disgust us or anger us. Then you get the unpleasant side effects like you know, vomiting or just feeling sick to the stomach. You know, you might not vomit, but you just feel sick because you're so disgusted by something. So that does happen. So it connects to that other nervous system that's going on there. And so that's what causes that. And that's fine. The problems that come into play is that when you have chronic high emotions such as stress, chronic things, traumas that we've dealt with, especially childhood traumas that were like just overwhelming, and we don't find a way to deal with it, and it gets kind of stuck in that second nervous system, and then it develops problems. You know, problems like irritable bowel syndrome, problems like diverticulitis, problems like just an inflamed gut, diarrhea, constipation, those kind of things are all triggered, you know, by constant stress or constant depression, and then depression goes back and forth. So that's one of the things, you know, so that second nervous system gets triggered by our brain and our emotions.
I've heard somewhere, Doctor, maybe you can count on comment on this too, that even in addition to the depression, that we can only sustain a certain amount of joy, a level of joy for so long. I mean, you can't stay up like that, like you mentioned, like you see somebody you haven't seen in a long time and you just get the butterflies in your stomach and you're just really, really excited. I mean, like the excitement that, you know, for example, if somebody, like for example, you're at a game or something and your team hits the winning shot with 1 second to go and everybody just, the crowd just erupts, they couldn't sustain that for too long of a period, you know, without there even being some sort of damage the other way, just because of the intensity, I guess.
Right, and
the
hormones that are triggered, yeah, absolutely. You don't sustain any extreme for a prolonged period of time. I would agree. Because even that is a source of stress, but it's a good stress. It's a good feeling. You have, you know, you're emitting a lot of energy, but it's not sustainable, absolutely. And usually, you know, we don't have that problem with happy feelings unless you're on some type of a medication or something, or drug, where you stay up like that. And then usually, you know, when people are up like that because of a medication or a drug, then they crash, you know, after a certain amount of time. The problem with sad emotions or traumas is that they're not sustainable either, but they don't manifest as quickly as, like, if you stayed up and, you know, overly happy for too long. You're just going to crash at some point because your body can't sustain it. You're just going to fall out, go to sleep, whatever, you know, mini coma, whatever. But with unhappy emotions, our body just tends to absorb it without us realizing it. And then it's creating damage in our digestive system. And that's where you get this inflammation, that's where you get this damage, that's where you get constant diarrhea and constipation and the going back and forth between the two and all of these irritable bowel syndromes that often, 9 times out of 10, if you have one of those types of conditions, if it's not just purely food, it's often an emotional problem that needs to be dealt with as well. you know, I've worked with people and inquired about who've had these kind of conditions. I just inquired about what was happening when you first got this. How old were you? What happened? And almost inevitably, something triggered some traumatic event, whether it was, mm-hmm. you know, just a trauma, abuse, moving away from a very familiar environment. Whatever it was, something happened that correlated with the first instance of this, you know, symptom that they were having. And then over the years, it just got worse and worse and worse. And then they're thinking, I just have this digestive problem, when they do, but they really have an emotional issue that needs to be cleansed from the system, from the emotional system. And that emotion that's happening in the brain is sending constant signals to the digestive system, to that second nervous system, and causing all types of inflammation, discomfort, and it's disrupting the normal flow of what the digestive tract is supposed to do. So, you know, it doesn't release the enzymes it's supposed to release on time. It doesn't do everything. It contracts when it's not supposed to contract. It pushes food through too quickly. It's just out of whack because it's getting too many overstimulation of signals from the brain because we're feeling emotionally traumatized or depressed or angry. And that is what causes most of those problems. So it's hard to heal that kind of a thing without dealing with the emotions, without digging in and cleaning it out. You know, a lot of, for example, diverticulitis, you develop these little pockets in your digestive tract, and they often collect waste. Instead of the waste going out, they get stuck in the pockets that are created, and then that causes a flare-up. It causes great discomfort. It causes constipation. It causes diarrhea. It causes a lot of pain and suffering and until it passes. So they call those like the flare-ups, and that's usually, when you think about what that is, it's catching waste and not letting it out, and that's what emotionally people have been doing subconsciously. They have this trauma, this messy stuff, this bad thing that happened or is happening, and they're not able to let it go, and so it's getting caught emotionally in their brain and then physically manifesting in their body. And so now you're holding on to waste in your system that's causing illness that's not going out, and it causes an infection and things like that. And then, you know, it'll pass for a while and then flares back up. And normal traditional treatment is very ineffective for these conditions. You know, they just give you medications to help you deal with the pain. They try to give you things to stop the constipation, things to stop the diarrhea, things to, you know, soften the all kinds of stuff that doesn't deal with the root cause. And so then people are just left with just not feeling well and never knowing when these things are gonna flare up. And if we dealt with the emotion and clean that out emotionally, you know, a lot of times we need therapy. A lot of times we need a release. We need some type of, process that we go through to release negative energy. And, you know, we need healing, and people need emotional healing, and that needs to happen. And so, and that's what causes a lot of the issues between the gut and the brain. And then the second part of it is the digestive tract is responsible for creating about 90% of the serotonin in our body. You know, and serotonin is the hormone that makes us feel good and happy. And so if your digestive tract isn't doing its job properly, then it is often the cause of depression. So it goes both ways. Your emotional depression can cause digestive problems, but your digestive problems can cause depression. So because it's not producing enough serotonin, so then you feel unhappy, you know, you feel blue and all of that. So there's that connection is very, very strong between the two.
You know, it's interesting, Doc, that you say this, because I'm learning a lot just during this discussion. You know, I'm reminded of somebody that I knew, a friend of mine, who years ago had shared with me something. She said, Juwanza, you know, there's some things you don't know about me. There's something I want to share with you. You know, can you keep it confidential? And I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. So she shared with me that she had HIV and that she didn't, you know, you couldn't tell by looking at her that she had it. But she said the way she got it was that she had been raped. And as a result of the rapist gave it to her, and that although the rapist wasn't the father of her first child, she eventually had two children. The first one had HIV. She didn't even know she had it, okay, until she went for prenatal care, whatever, the nurse came in. So how long have you had HIV? The girl thought that you must have the wrong chart. I don't have HIV. And she's like, yes, you do have HIV. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. Of course, the young lady felt like life really dealt her a bad hand, okay? She felt now she's got HIV. Her firstborn's got HIV. You know, she's thinking, am I going to be here for my kids and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, all of the depression that comes along with feeling that life was just unfair to you. Now, needless to say, she kept diarrhea, okay? I mean, she was always saying that, you know, that she just, you know, couldn't even go a whole lot of places because there were just certain times when she needed to always make sure she was close to a bathroom or something, you know?
Right.
And I'm just saying, just as I'm listening to you describe the effects of the emotions and what the emotions do to the gut and what the gut does to the emotions, she came to mind. Now, you mentioned that people need to, you know, find a way to, I guess, deal with whatever the emotional thing is. And I guess I brought her up because she was presently dealing with that. There are a lot of people out here that are dealing with things that happened to them in their childhood. So it might be easier for somebody to, you know, look back when you're looking through the rearview mirror at something that may have happened. But then when you're dealing with something that might currently be going on, no, she wasn't experiencing the rape currently, but she had to look at a child that, you know, as a result of the rape. She had to then deal with her own HIV issues as a result of the rape. So what do you say to somebody that, you know, has to deal with a current situation, and how do they, get the help that they need? I guess I know you mentioned therapy, but how would diet play in that? Because on top of the emotional stuff that she undoubtedly had to go through, I mean, she was eating meat and all that other kind of stuff too, dairy and all the other stuff. I'm sure that didn't help. And we talked about at the symposium, even you did a great presentation on food and mood and how food affects your mood. So how could food, for those who weren't there in attendance, how could food even affect the healing, the emotional healing process?
Right. Yeah, it's when you have a trauma like that, you know, it's inevitably going to, and that is, if it's not dealt with, it's going to affect the digestive system. But the severity of it is affected very much by what we eat. So if you have that kind of trauma that's showing up, you know, as in bowel issues, then if you're eating meat and dairy and processed food, it's going to be just that much worse than if you're following a plant-based diet. Doesn't mean you're not going to have any symptoms, but it means the severity would be less, a lot less severe. Still means you have to address the emotional issues. I mean, things that help heal it, you know, are probiotics and enzymes, systemic and digestive enzymes help a lot with this issue, but probiotics are often important because chronic stress tends to kill off the good bacteria in our digestive system, so you usually have to replenish that. So these kind of things can help with the severity of it for sure, and help get it, you know, start the healing process. But true healing has to happen in both places. So there's definitely, fermented foods that you'd want to eat, like your sauerkraut, and probiotic things like kimchi and kombucha, kefir, like coconut milk kefir. All of those things will be very helpful in calming the digestive system down. But you would, like I said, still want to address the root cause if you want long-term healing and not just patching it up, here and there. And, you know, it's, you know, if you're dealing with a current trauma that's causing that kind of a result, you know, it's nothing that you should be blaming yourself for, is that your body is just severely reacting to something that was quite horrendous. And, you know, rightfully so. So, but, you know, once you realize that, then you have to take some action pretty quickly to help you calm this trauma that's happening in your digestive system now. You must realize, okay, I am reacting because, you know, emotionally this was traumatizing and angering and a whole bunch of emotions I can't even imagine. For example, that your friend might have been having, but that would be the time to seek help and talk to someone and talk it out and get it out, because you're probably dealing with a lot of, you know, when you're dealing with the rape, you're dealing with a lot of guilt, self-blame, self-doubt, low self-esteem. You've been, you've been violated. So many emotions are happening there that it's really important to get help with that. And then you add something like HIV on top of it and a child in there. That's a lot. So you really do. So it's no wonder she would have that kind of reaction. But she really would have to get some emotional support and help to process that. And then, you know, doing even in addition to that, doing rituals, you know, that help, you know, whatever your faith is, whether it's prayer, whether it's, you know, a lot of people do cleansing routines in their body, in their home, sage, all those kind of things, you know, good essential oils, are all meditation that help calm. That's one of the best things you can do for an irritated digestive system is meditate, and meditate the calmness so that you can calm down these signals that are going to your gut. You got to calm them down. They're overreacting. So meditation really, really helps with that, and it's very healing too. So I wouldn't say just do things like meditate. You need to talk to someone if you've had a serious trauma, but that will also help the process.
Can we go back to probiotics for a moment? As I was preparing for the show, I was doing some research and saw a study that illustrated the brain-gut connection. They had done a study on patients with irritable bowel syndrome and depression, and researchers found that twice as many patients saw improvements from depression when they took a probiotic as compared to the other patients who took a placebo. I mean, so, you know, it was clear that, okay, probiotics have their, you know, play a very, very important role, as you just mentioned. And you gave a few examples. Any others? You mentioned kombucha and something else. It might be hard for somebody who's making a transition to, you know, like, what's that? You know.
Well, I think, I would recommend taking a probiotic supplement in addition to the foods if you have depression or chronic stress, because you're probably below the levels where you need to be. So you're going to need a big dose of it to get back up. So food alone is going to take a lot longer just by eating to get it back up. So you would need a supplement for a period of time and then work the foods in. So, you know, you want a high-quality probiotic supplement that you can find at any of the health food stores. They're usually refrigerated, and you keep them refrigerated so you have the live cultures in there. There aren't a ton of probiotic-rich foods. It's going to be things like yogurt, but not cow's milk yogurt. It's going to be like coconut milk yogurt or almond milk yogurt has the live probiotics in it. And some people even make their own yogurt from, like, macadamia nuts, and you get a plant-based culture and let it ferment. There's YouTube videos on that. Like I said, the kefir. Usually people, the most common is like goat's milk or some raw cow's milk. We don't want to do that because that causes inflammation. So we'd want to do the coconut milk kefir that has the fermentation and the probiotics in it. As I mentioned, the sauerkraut, kimchi, and things like that that are naturally fermented. Miso is another one of those. So, but I'd recommend a supplement, especially like you mentioned, said, dealing with depression. It's a lot of times because, you know, we don't, with nutritional deficiencies, but also because the digestive tract isn't absorbing nutrients, and so it's going to make you nutritionally deficient, even if you're taking them, if you don't have the probiotics and the enzymes to break down those nutrients. So the probiotics, when it's out of balance, it's hard for the body to absorb. It's also hard for the body to absorb when it's inflamed with these types of issues. So some supplementation, so some of that will seep in, you know, you're taking larger doses of it. But absolutely, I could see why, you know, the probiotics would play a big role in it because it's a balance, a hormonal balance that's happening there.
You know, Doctor, also I noticed that, you know, when I was looking it up, that there were a lot of studies that had been done regarding the brain-gut connection that were performed on lab rats and lab mice. And, you know, they were drawing results from, you know, they might take a litter of mice and take them from the mother and then watch and determine and, you know, draw data from, you know, watching the mice and the rats and how they responded to certain, you know, stress, quote, unquote. Are you familiar with any studies that were done with, I'm sure there had to be at some point, but studies on humans? And the reason I ask that is because unlike the lab animals, humans, we have the ability to choose our reaction. We do have the ability, being human, to make choices regarding how we're going to respond to certain situations that could be detrimental to us. I remember a show that you and I did, and I laughed when I thought about it earlier, remember the show where you were sharing about how the guy, I forget, one of the coworkers that you had, he was trying to undermine you, I guess, and you were just furious, you know, just really, really just furious, and then you came, you know, something came over you like, you know what, I'm not killing myself. being upset with this person. You know, this upsetness is just hurting me. And so my point is, you made a choice as a human being to say, you know what, I'm going to respond differently. I'm not going to allow this person to ruin my day, to ruin my health. And you made a conscious choice, you know, to do that. And we, I think, as people who are alive and breathing and quote, unquote, human, can make choices, conscious choices, that we don't have to respond in ways that are going to cause us emotional upset, which is going to cause us to diminish our health via stress and the negative effects that come along with that. So I said all that to ask, were you aware of studies? Because the studies that I saw were mainly done on lab animals as opposed to human beings.
You know, I can't quote any right off, but I have read about some of those that have talked about, I think it was like either in Johns Hopkins Medicine or something like that, that I was reading about some of the effects of mood and food, for sure. So there are studies out there, and you're right, we do have the power to choose our reaction to things. We definitely do have that power and, you know, change course and, you know, view things in a different way and know that, you know, if we're still breathing, walking, talking, then all is not lost regardless of the traumas we've been through or the situation that we're in. You can always change it. You really can. And so having that outlook helps you relax. It helps you stop sending those panic signals to your, you know, digestive system. I mean, because that's really what they're meant to be for. When you think about the flight or fight syndrome, you know, that's why, you know, when you're nervous, you have to go to the bathroom. Your body's trying to get rid of stuff and get lighter and get ready to go, you know. So that's why we have these reactions. They were there for a reason. But, you know, we have, you know, they get out of whack when we don't deal with, you know, traumas that really shouldn't be happening to us, but they do. and then we've had to, you know, find a way to move on, move past, and be resilient and heal in the process.
You know, I ran into, I actually went out of my way to go past an old friend of mine's house a few years ago, probably about 10 years ago, somebody I'd gone to elementary school with, and I remember that. I said, I wonder if he still lives here. As you know, when you're kids, you spend the night over each other's house, and that was my boy back then in first, second grade, so I went past. His mother opened the door, so I asked about him, and she's like, oh, well, you know, he's you know, no longer around, you know, I'm like, really, did he pass away? He's like, no, he's in jail, you know, and she was smiling, you know what I mean? And so then I asked about his little brother. I said, so, well, how's Wendell? How's he doing? You know, she said, oh, Wendell, he passed away on Christmas 3 years ago. She was just smiling, right? And I'm still absorbing what she just told me about both of her sons who I knew when I was a kid, right? And so, but mm-hmm. she was smiling at me, and I'm trying to process the fact that, you know, she just told me her son died on Christmas Day 2-3 years ago, and she's just sitting there looking at me with this big grin like, it's so great to see you, though. You know, and I'm like, wow, she's handling this well. I know it's been a couple of years, but, I mean, she didn't say, come in, sit down, let me, you know, none of that. She just told me, like, she said, oh, you know, he's out back, let me go get him, you know.
Right, so, right.
I mean, ways that people can handle things. And she looked healthy. She was much older now because I had grown up. I mean, and I'm sure her health, what appeared to be health, at least from the outside, probably had a lot to do with her attitude.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, she's decided not to let it break her, you know. And, you know, it's like a lot of times we feel like we have to, especially when we deal with untimely deaths and things like that, we often feel like if we don't have enough of an emotional reaction and we're not super sad and depressed and that we didn't love that person enough or we're going to forget them or something like that. And so we kind of, even in some cases, kind of force those emotions on ourselves to prove to ourselves that we cared, when that's not mm-hmm. necessarily how we need to show our love or respect for that person. You know, they would want you to live your life and to move on. It's like, and what good would one death basically bring on a walking death in you if you're carrying that, you know? And so that is a decision that apparently she'd made to move on and, you know, live life regardless, you know, because you can't undo what's been done. And she's decided to, you know, move forward in spite of, and that's a good thing, and that's a healthy thing to do. And then we can find healthy ways to memorialize people and things and be helpful without letting it just destroy our physical selves in a display of, you know, over emotion to prove how, you know, close we were or how much they meant to us. You know, there are many ways to respect that relationship without letting it tear our bodies down.
You know, we talked about it once, even how people have these planned depressions, you know, like so-and-so's birthday's coming up, you know, it's going to be the second birthday.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I see so many people do that, and again, it's not necessary, again, because it's like a guilt feeling partly that you're alive and they're not, and that maybe you shouldn't be happy on their birthday, and that you've got to, you know, go through this thing, and it serves you in a way that you don't realize. It makes you feel less guilty, and it makes you feel like, oh, see how much I cared. It tears me down, breaks me apart. I can't function for, you know, a day or a week every year as paying homage to them when we could do it in a much healthier way and remember them and memorialize them. And I think that a lot of times that's really what people are trying to do, is memorialize that person in a very significant and dramatic way, not realizing that that's not a healthy way to do it when you just become despondent and unfunctional. That's really not the best way. And people get very defensive and say, don't tell me how to grieve. I'm not telling anybody how to grieve, but I'm saying a lot of these things are things we see other people do, things we think we're supposed to do, things that make us feel better, and less guilty about the death, even though it wasn't anything that we had any part in. But that's what those are doing. And it's just like, let's find a healthy way to memorialize the people we love and not let it be a depressive thing every year, every holiday, every birthday, every, you know, whatever the occasion is. But let's do it in a positive way, because that person, if they loved you, they'd want you to be happy and, yes, remember them, but not let it tear you down and be emotionally unhealthy.
You know, the Aseraset Society have a part of their teaching is that, for example, even as it relates to grief, is that it might be normal, but it's not natural, that your natural state is peace, and because anything that's harmful to you can't be natural to you, okay? Anything that's going to lower your IQ, cause you depression, you know, which is going to cause another host of, you know, things to go wrong with your bloodstream, you know, with the toxic chemicals being released into the bloodstream, shortening your attention span. I mean, anything that's going to harm you in any way cannot be natural to the purpose that you were created, you know, which I love the teaching. It's easier said than done, but at least if you have that as a foundation, at least if you have that as something that to aspire to, you do things to to consider, give you other things to consider if, in fact, you do experience a loss, because that's going to happen in life. This is life. You're going to lose people that you love. And if you can know that as a premise, that the reaction, although it might be normal, people might try to crawl in the casket. That might be normal for them to do, but it's not the natural response. Doc, we've only got a couple of minutes left. What about, you've heard, this word kept coming up as I was researching. I guess it's pronounced microbiome. Are you familiar with that? Maybe I'm just saying it wrong.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I am.
Maybe I'm just saying it wrong. How about gluten in the gut? That just seemed to pop up too. That gluten is just bad, bad, bad. Could you talk about that in 2 minutes?
Yeah, well, gluten has, you know, gotten a bad rap, and some of it for good reason. A lot of us are sensitive to it, and it tends to cause a lot of intestinal distress, but that also can lead to depression and other emotional illnesses too. So that is definitely something that if you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with any of those digestive disorders, gluten should be cut, and because that's going to exacerbate the situation because the body is reacting to it very badly. So it's one of the things that definitely has been linked to a number of issues. And, you know, we haven't fully identified why, if it's the way that wheat is grown now or that most of it's genetically modified or the way that it's processed here. But there's a lot that is going on with gluten. So it's best avoided if you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with any of these intestinal distress issues. That would be, you know, one thing you'd want to give up.
Doctor, I know we've only got a couple of minutes left. Was there any, because the conversation's on different places, was there anything that we did not touch on that you felt like we needed to address at least before we close? Was there anything that we didn't get to?
You know, I think we covered it for the most part. You know, it's just that knowing that our chronic emotions, any extreme chronic emotions that go on and on and on, are going to have an effect on our body, and particularly our digestive system. And then that then starts causing other problems, which cause other problems. So it's like your emotional distress causes problem in your digestive system, and then that trauma to the digestive system then causes additional emotional distress like depression and other things. So it becomes a circle. And so we have to deal with these things. We have to deal with our emotions. We have to get help when we need it. We have to not stuff things away, not harbor anger, sadness, and regrets and things like that. You got to let it go and let it out, so that your body properly you know, deals with the nutrients and lets out the waste as it should. Otherwise, the body starts doing crazy things like holding on to that waste and creating illness in the body. So, you know, we've got to recognize that mind body connection and understand that our digestive system does have a second brain and that it responds. And so that we can't think that we can have emotional things that don't affect our body. It's all one. It's all one holistic system.
Doctor, fabulous interview. I knew that it was going to be, and I encourage everybody, I want to have you give your information so people can reach you if you like. Anything coming up that you want to make the community aware of? You doing any workshops, lectures, anything that you want the family to know about?
I will be this Saturday at Mount Eben Baptist Church. I'll probably put it on my website for their constituents there. But I'll be announcing some things in the next couple of weeks, some cooking classes that will be coming up. We're just finalizing dates, and I'll be letting folks know. So you can always just check my website on the events page on the website and see what's going on and sign up for my newsletter, and you'll be in the know.
You know, you did a church, not now, you spoke at a church, and I'm not talking about the symposium a couple of weeks ago at in Fort Washington. You did you spoke at a church, was it in Florida? Was it an Adventist church? Where was that recently?
Yeah, that was in Altamont Springs, Florida, right outside of Orlando. Yeah, so
that?
we had a great time there. Yeah.
I can imagine just seeing the people responding and an Adventist church. So you might have been preaching to the choir there, huh?
Sometimes, but you know, sometimes the people know, but they don't do. So,
right.
And they say the saying is to know and not to do is not to know. So sometimes you need a reminder of what you know so that you can start doing. And so we had a great response. We had a full house the next day for a cooking class. And so it was good. We had a great time there.
Everybody, I encourage you to go to Dr. Lathan's website, find out where she's going to be, because you definitely want to make it a point to get out to see her. Doc, and how can they reach you if people want consultations? You do consultations. How can people get in contact with you if they want to, you know, they've got a condition, they just got bad news from the doctor, they heard your testimony, and they're like, oh, God, I need to talk to her. How can they get in contact with you?
They can email at info@rubylathan.com. That's RubyLathan.com. You can also make appointments on the website there, which is rubylathan.com, and we'll be in touch with you.
Dr. Lathan, awesome, awesome interview, my sister. Again, I knew it was going to be awesome. I learned so much every time we speak, and I always go back and listen to the shows again, and I want to encourage everybody to do the same. Go back and listen to it again. We've done shows with Dr. Lathan on just about every condition you can think of. I mean, different types of cancer, arthritis, obesity, childhood obesity, I mean, erectile dysfunction. I mean, we've talked about it all. So, I mean, fit for a queen, women's health, cervical cancer, I mean, you name it, a stroke, you name it, we've talked about it. So definitely scroll through the archives. Wherever you see her name, just click, and I guarantee you, you're going to get a lot of information that you can use, and share the information too, because if you like it, then chances are somebody that you know is going to either like it or love it or benefit from it as well. Dr. Lathan, I got to let you go because I want to be respectful of your time, but I mean, we could keep going for another hour easily. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you, and it's an honor to be able to bring you and share you with the listening audience. Thank you so much for all the work that you do.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, I'll be in touch. Everybody,
okay.
That's Dr. Ruby Lathan. Didn't I tell you? I told you at the start of the show that you were in for a treat, that you were going to learn a lot. I know that you did, and I'm just thankful, again, to be able to bring people of her caliber to you. And when you get people of her caliber that are willing to come and share, then you need to listen. you really need to listen. Now, I know that you know, judging from all of the information that you just heard, that she knows what she's talking about, right? Okay. Well, if you feel that she knows what she's talking about, and you heard her testimony about how she cured herself of thyroid cancer, you might know somebody that's got thyroid cancer or any type of cancer, okay? Because what Dr. Lathan is fond of saying also is when you cure the body, you cure the body, meaning that, let's say, for example, you had thyroid cancer, diabetes and arthritis. Well, if you cured yourself of the thyroid cancer, guess what? The diabetes would be gone too. The arthritis would be gone too, because once you start giving the body what it needs, then all of the other conditions are going to go as well. Because you know what? Really, technically, it's just a disease by another name. In some people, bad eating habits show up as diabetes. In other people, it shows up as arthritis, uric acid in the bones. In somebody else, it might show up as pneumonia, mucus in the lungs. You know, in somebody else, it might show up as heart trouble, clogged arteries or something, you know. But it's the same food, just showing up in different people differently. And sometimes it might manifest in one individual differently, okay? I have a special guest that comes on once a month, Brother Coy Dunstan. His mother had cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon. Guess what? He changed her diet to a live it, and the doctors were amazed. After a few weeks, they were just surprised that she was still alive. They had only given her 6 weeks to live, but after changing her diet to a live it, she was back in the pulpit preaching, giving God the glory. So I say that. Scroll down the archives. Check these shows out. Share this information. Give Dr. Lathan a call. Listen, she's got a show that comes on YouTube. It's called The Veggie Chest. If you're making the transition and you want to know how to do it, you're hearing about all this vegetarian, vegan stuff, and you're like, you know what, I want to try it, but I just don't know what to eat. Check out The Veggie Chest. The, T-H-E, Veggie, V-E-G-G-I-E, Chest on YouTube. Okay, she's going to walk you through the process. Sometimes we just need somebody to take us by the hand and show us what to do. In addition, you can tell us what to do. Sometimes we need somebody to show us what to do. Well, Dr. Lathan is going to show you how to do it. Give her a call. And in the meantime, do your research. Get online, get some information, and research. This is about your life. This is about your health. This is about your happiness. Who am I? My name is Chiwanza. Thank you for listening. I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Peace.